Let's now open the scriptures. And I want to remind you that our Lord Jesus said that all the scriptures, even those of the Old Testament, speak of Him. Right? So let us endeavor to see the beauty of our Savior also here in the words of the Psalms. So let's turn to Psalms number 3. Psalm 3. And it says there, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Psalm 3. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and He heard me from His holy hill. I lay down and slept, and I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. This is the holy word of God, and may He bless us as we consider it in more detail this morning. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you wake up, what are your thoughts? Are you looking forward to the new day? Are you confident and optimistic? Or are you anxious and worried because of the things that need to be done, because of the things that may happen? Now, anything could happen. So how do you face the new day? How do you face it as a day in your life with God? I ask this question in connection to Psalm 3 because traditionally Psalm 3 has been earmarked as a morning prayer. In fact, in some Bibles you will find that printed as a caption above the Psalm. Psalm 3, morning prayer. Psalm 4, evening prayer. And that is because of verse 5, where David says, I awoke, and the Lord sustained me. So you can think of this psalm as a prayer of David when he just woke up and faced the new day in his life with the Lord. And so let us learn from this prophet of the Lord, from his prayer, to shape our prayers and our attitudes as we wake up. The theme for this sermon is begin the day with confidence. And we will look at 3 points. They're listed on the bulletin. Begin the day with confidence in the face of opposition. Second, in the strength of God. And third, in dependence on the Savior. The inscription of this psalm, which is printed in the Pew Bibles, is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And you probably know this story. Absalom, David's own son, had betrayed him. And Absalom was in hot pursuit of his father, trying to kill him. So when David prays, how many foes, how many have, or how many trouble me, in verse 1, he is not exaggerating. There are a lot of people after him, and they're really out there to try to kill him. David did not know if he would survive this day. Some of David's faithful men, his best friends, even had joined Absalom and his revolt. And no doubt Absalom would turn the hearts of many more against David. David knew there was about to happen in the days to come. Even David's sympathizers were wavering. How have they increased to trouble me? Was there any hope for him? And then there was this episode with Shimei, one of David's enemies. And maybe Psalm 3 was David's prayer the next day after this episode with Shimei. Let's turn briefly to 2 Samuel 16 and see what happened there. 2 Samuel 16, verses 5 through 8, describes David's flight from Jerusalem, running for his life. And it says, 2 Samuel 16, verse 5, "Now when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out cursing continuously as he came, and he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Also Shimei said thus when he cursed, 'Come out, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom your son. So now you are caught in your own evil, because you are a bloodthirsty man.'" That is what David heard slung to his head. And you know what? It was partially true, because David had killed many people, and he had killed many people related to Saul in battle. So here's an accusation. And do you hear what Shimei says? He does not only want David dead, but he is convinced that the Lord wants nothing to do with David. Basically, he says, "David, now finally God is giving to you what you had coming." Is it true? If David thought this was true, could he live that day with confidence at all? If the Lord is against you, if the Holy God is against you, and you know you're a sinner, wouldn't that make you despair? So that is probably what David's referring to in verse 2. "Many are they who say of me, 'There is no help for him in God.'" Even God is not going to help him. So what can David do as he wakes up facing another day of opposition and knowing himself to be a sinner? This whole thing with Absalom was largely his own fault. He had been a weakling in dealing with Absalom. He should never have allowed his son to come back from exile, but he had. All this went back to David's gross sin with Bathsheba, of adultery and even murder. So what can David do? Can he claim innocence? Not really. Can he rely on his own strength? But the enemy is stronger. Can he just give up? No, David cries out to the Lord and lays his life in God's hand. And that prayer of David, prayed in despair and in a difficult situation, is included in the liturgy of God's people. It's part of the book of Psalms. And that means that you and I are invited to imitate it, to take David's words on our own lips, make them our own words. So is this your prayer this morning? "Lord, how they have increased to trouble me, and many are saying of me, 'There is no help for him in God.'" Is that your prayer too? When waking up and looking forward to a new day, what is your concern? Is it difficulty at work? Is it painful situations, possible conflict you will face? Is it going to be another struggle with health or sickness? Is it going to be another day of suffering because of old age? Is it going to be a day of uncertainty and doubt? Is it another day of living with loss or grief? Or guilt, or shame. All of those are things to bring to God, to pray to God about. So come and pour out your heart, your worries, and your pain, just as David did here at the beginning of a new, difficult day. But it would be superficial to stop with those examples. we may never forget that we live on a spiritual battlefield where war is raging, and that war is no less than in David's time. Maybe not so physically, but more spiritually, we are facing the fight that David was facing. And so pray, Lord, how have they increased who trouble me? Not necessarily thinking about everyday challenges, that too, but also and especially thinking about our true spiritual enemies that are pursuing us. They're out there to kill us. You know how the Heidelberg Catechism beautifully summarizes our enemies, our spiritual enemies? It lists three, right? We're in a continual battle against what? Against the world, the devil, and our own flesh. These enemies rise up against us continually. So let us pray, O Lord, how hostile is our world. It is full of strife and competition, of selfishness and arrogance, of greed and lust. And the world expects us to join in. It sucks us in. They despise the gospel of holiness and justice. They despise compassion and mercy. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. Many are saying of Christianity, it's out of touch with modern times. It cannot save anyone. And yet it can be so enticing, that world. Oh God, save us from the world. And oh Lord, how cunning is the devil. He directs peoples and nations on small scale and large scale to oppose the church, to oppose her message. If he could, the devil would seduce the elect of God and destroy the church. He is telling us so many lies, doesn't he? You cannot know that God is there, he says. You cannot know for sure that God cares for you, do you? Your sins are too ugly to be forgiven. Your heart is too dark to be saved. Oh God, save us from the devil and from his lies. And oh Lord, how weak is our own flesh. Even if we resolve to serve you, it so easily follows the path of sin. It so easily carries us away from you. We, Lord, are not strong enough to overcome temptation. Oh God, save us from ourselves. How many enemies stand around us and are out there to destroy us? Do you see that reality, brother, sister? Psalm 3 teaches us to look and to recognize the spiritual battle around us and the battle that is inside us. And then it encourages us to lay it all before God at the very beginning of the day. Oh Lord, how many rise up against me? Is that the tone of your prayer every day? Psalm 3 is a psalm of lament, as we call it, a psalm of complaints, right? There is a difficult situation and people cry out to God, psalm of lament. But it's also a psalm of confidence. And it's remarkable how in this book in the Bible, the book of Psalms, those two go together so often. Because without confidence in God, you know, without confidence in God, it's no use complaining to Him. Now is it? If you don't trust that He can hear you and that He is mighty to save, why would you call on Him? But the Lord is mighty and He is willing to help us. And David uses many words in this psalm to describe that beautiful reality. In verse 3 he says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You are a shield." Now children, we have a few children here. I want you to think about that especially. What does a shield do? What is it good for? What does it mean to say God is a shield? Well, shields are for protection, right? Shields are for fighting off weapons that would otherwise hurt or kill you. It prevents soldiers from being killed. And so David calls the Lord a shield around me, because no matter from where the attack will come, the Lord stands between him and danger. Shield all around him, he is safe. In the Bible, the Lord is often called a shield, or related things like a wall, or a fortress, or even a strong tower. You can find that in Psalm 18, for instance, Psalm 46, Psalm 61, and so on. Most importantly, the Lord himself said that he is a shield for his people. You see that for the first time clearly in God's second calling of Abraham, Genesis 15, verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham a second time, and he said, "Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield." And then God made a covenant with Abraham. And the Bible teaches us that if we believe in God, we are children of Abraham. And that means that we have essentially the same relationship with the Lord, who will be our shield, who will be our protector, among many other things. And then in verse 3, "You are the one who lifts up my head." When people are ashamed, they lower their heads. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to face others. The lifting of the head stands for the removal of shame and guilt. And David faces the world as one who has been forgiven. As one who can stand there freely and with confidence. With the Lord on his side, there is no longer shame, but there is certainty. And then verse 4. "The Lord heard me from his holy hill." He answered David. David is also confident that the Lord will come to his aid because of his past experience. David says, "I cried to the Lord with my voice and he heard me." He heard me from his holy hill. It has already happened, and therefore I'm sure it will happen again. The holy hill refers especially to the sanctuary, to the tabernacle at that time. The Lord had appointed the tent, right, to be the place where Israel would worship. And that was his special presence among the people of Israel. Later, when David's son Solomon would build a temple to replace the tabernacle, Solomon would pray, "If your people Israel pray and plead with you in this house, then hear in heaven and forgive their sin and bring them again to the land that you give to their fathers." But David had already experienced this in so many ways. He personally knew the Lord as the one who had forgiven his guilt, as the one who guided him in difficult times, as the one who gave the victory to Israel and to Israel's anointed king. How many times had David led Israel in a war that, humanly speaking, they should have lost, but with God's help, they won. And so David can say, "He heard me." And therefore, he can trust, therefore we can trust, that the Lord will answer again and again if we pray in his presence. He has done it. He will do it again. Verse 5. "I awoke, for the Lord sustained me." David tells us here that he went to bed and woke up the next morning. You think, okay, yeah, that's what happens, right? You go to bed and you wake up the next morning. That may seem pretty normal. If you are being hunted down by enemies, then that is something to be very grateful for, maybe even surprised about. "I wasn't killed in my sleep." Wow. And the psalm acknowledges, "I live another day only by the grace and the mercy of God. I woke up because he sustained me." If I look at the enemies around me, if I look at what I truly deserve, then I should be dead by now. I am weak and guilty, but the Lord keeps me alive in his strength. He sustains me. Or in the words of Lamentation, "It is of the mercies of the Lord that we have not perished. Every morning they are new. Great is his faithfulness." So we get all these words, all these pictures put together, right? The Lord as a shield, as the one who lifts up our head, as the one who answers, the one who sustains. That is who God is. Because of this, we can be confident. Because of this, we can face another day. And David has this confidence. He says in verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Bring it on. The Lord is with me. What can people do? Do you have this confidence? Does the Lord surround you as a protective shield? Is He your honor and the one who lifts up your head, even though you are a sinner? Do you know from experience that God answers when you approach His holy presence in sincere prayer? Do you recognize that He is the one who sustains you so that you can live yet another day before Him and live confident? If so, brother, sister, then you are indeed blessed. Because that knowledge and that experience of God's presence will carry you through the day, hard as it may be. Bask in that confidence. Meditate on it. Give thanks for it. And make it your source of energy as you face your everyday life. But what if you do not have that confidence? Then I urge you to seek it. Go to the Lord humbly and ask Him to be your shield. Pray that He remove your sin and shame, that you can lift up your head once again, because the burden of guilt that you carry around is taken away. Look at your life and look at the good things you receive, that you have already received from Him. And acknowledge that it is only God's mercy that sustains you. And then be encouraged that if you do those things, the Lord will honor that request. He will not withhold His Holy Spirit from those who pray to Him in earnest. That is the promise of the gospel. So we have seen that Psalm 3 encourages us to open our eyes to the reality of the battle around us and also of the victory that we have with the help of God. There is a battle raging around us, but we may be confident, just as David is here. And it should be clear that this is not a confidence in self. It's a trap we easily fall into. You tell us to be confident. Good. I'm going to be self-confident. I have confidence in confidence alone. And I'll make them see I have confidence in me. That is not what Christianity teaches. Our confidence is one of dependence on God. Again, from the Heidelberg Catechism, the last Lord's Day. By ourselves, we are too weak to hold our own, even for a moment. And therefore, Psalm 3, in verse 7, there is a prayer to God that He rise up, that He take charge, that He take care of the enemy. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Let's focus on two words here in the psalm that emphasize this dependency we have on God. First of all, there's the word salvation in verse 8. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation, that means rescue. It means being taken out of trouble and set free. The same word can also be translated victory. Salvation is what someone else does. Over against the taunt of verse 2, there is no help for him in God, David concludes in verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. You're not sure God is going to help me? I am. Salvation comes from the Lord. Not punishment. He's not going to kill me, says David. He's going to save me. Because God has revealed Himself as the God of salvation. That is why we can pray this so confidently. Save me, O God. And these words, save and salvation, are often used in the Psalms. And for New Testament Christians, these are particularly dear words. Because listen to the Hebrew word for salvation. Yeshua. It's the name we know, the name of Jesus. What David did not quite fully understand, we now know. And that's that the Lord has come to us in Jesus, whose very name is salvation. He has conquered the enemy. He has crushed the head of Satan. He saves His people from all their sins. He has been crowned King of the entire world. The victory is His. When we sing Psalm 3, we sing to God the Father through and about and in the power of His Son Jesus Christ. Our faith looks to Him. And seeing Him, it is as clear as it can ever be. Salvation indeed belongs to the Lord. And then, next to salvation, there is also the word blessing in verse 8. David, as the king of Israel, was the channel through whom God blessed His people of old. When God rescued him from Absalom, and He did, He not only saved David, but He saved His people. He restored King David to be a blessing for the Israelites. And therefore the psalm ends with a prayer which is not merely a request, but it's also a confident confession. Your blessing be on your people, your blessing is on your people. Both translations work. But for David, this is not only a wish, this is reality, this is a certain hope. Blessing is on your people. In Jesus Christ, the great Son of David, we receive the fullest blessing. When God saves, He does more than getting us out of trouble. In His favor and in His love, He blesses our lives. He gives us all that we need and He gives it generously. He treats us how? As mere creatures He has made? As servants? No, He treats us as sons and daughters. And that blessing of a father who loves to give his children the best, that blessing brings us toward the end of this age, into the new age, when God's glory will fill the earth, when His blessing will be everything. And as God's people, we will share in His glory. That is a promise. So, brothers and sisters, every morning you wake, confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the salvation of the Lord and that you rely on Him. And then you may also lay hold on His blessing, which will be with you throughout that day. Shall we pray to God that He may give this to us? Father in heaven, how many are the enemies that stand around us when we stop and think about the world and the devil and even our own flesh? Then we realize, Lord, that we are continually in grave danger and that we cannot stand on our own. And Lord, we often feel burdened by the things we have to face. We feel ashamed because of our own sin. And we may feel like throwing in the towel because we cannot possibly win. But we thank You, Lord, that You have revealed Yourself as the God of our salvation, that we have the promise that You will be our shield, that You lift up our head because You remove from us our sin and our shortcomings, that we can freely stand in the salvation that You have worked. We thank You, Lord, especially for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who brought full salvation for all that believe. And we pray that in His strength we may stand firmly, that we may cheer for joy because we have the victory in His name. Lord, give us the confidence of our salvation, and then also give us Your blessing as we receive all these things from You. be with us now in the rest of this day, as it's a day of worship and a day of special devotion to you. And we pray, Lord, that this may also carry over in the days to come when we go back to our daily work or maybe to our vacation. We ask all these things in the power of your Holy Spirit and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.